Praise the Lord. Glad to be out this morning. Let's all stand, if you will. Let's go before Him in prayer this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it a great privilege, Lord, an opportunity, Lord, together once again. Lord, with saints of like precious faith, Lord, we love each and every one of them. But Lord, we're gathered here in Your name this morning, Lord. All for You, Lord, and we just appreciate the opportunity, Lord. We ask You to intervene. Lord, we ask You to have Your way in everything that's said and done this day. Lord, we'll be sure to give You all the glory, all the honor that's due unto You. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning and sing Amazing Grace? Amen.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Amen. Page 38, and I only believe. Draw me near. Amen.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told my love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of
This morning to draw near. Amen. And not and my will be lost in his. Amen. Page 67, same book. To be like him. To be like Jesus. Amen. On earth I long. Amen. From Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger on earth I long to be like him, my faithful Savior. How rich is
oh, through life.
Your desire all through life's journey from earth to glory. I only ask to be like him. That's a precious desire if you have that, saints. Amen. You may be seated. We ask Brother Amos if he'd come to the offering. Amen.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, may that truly be the strive in our hearts every day, Lord, to be just like you. Lord, for you are your word, Lord. We are so thankful for this opportunity you've given us. Amen. Lord, once more to gather in with our brothers and sisters, Lord, it's around your precious word. Lord, we just pray that as your word comes forth this day, Lord, may our hearts and minds be open to receive what you have for us. Lord, as we come to this portion, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. May it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. I can never, ever outlove the Lord. I want to live this morning by raising their hand. We ask Brother Paul to take the needs if you would.
Our Jesus, Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you, Lord, this day, Lord Jesus, just hear from you once again, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
still have out there, Lord Jesus. We know the time is coming soon, Lord. We just ask for that last moment.
Amen.
Father, we just pray you just give us the right words to speak in those times, Father. And just as we hear today, Lord Jesus, may we just hear from you. And just may we hear that rightful word, Lord, that we need in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Just may you guide us in the right path, Father. We just pray to be the Lord, be with those needs, Lord Jesus. Just you know each need, Father. We just ask you to grant it each and every one, Lord. We just ask all these things in your name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Anyone have a song this morning they want to sing? A special? Sister Heather?
From God to this earth I was sent. I'm nothing on my own. This body makes mistakes and slips. It's common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday I'm of a special kind. While he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me,
yes, he knew me,
yeah.
Oh.
Yes, he endured it all for me. For I was on his mind.
Amen. So thankful. Let's all stand. Let's sing that little chorus. He is here as we ask our pastor to come deliver what the Lord's laying on his heart. You hungry?
Amen.
Hungry for the word. Amen.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here.
Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful again for this wonderful day in which you've given us. And Lord, as we rose from our bed this morning, so thankful for the precious desire that you place within our hearts. And Lord, to know that we could face another day, knowing that everything was in your control, knowing that the footsteps of the righteous are ordained of God. And Lord, how we just trust you today that you will bless us with your word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, the way of understanding thy holy word. That Lord Jesus, we could be a more prepared and ready people, Lord, for that great catching away. That all the doubt could be removed, and Lord Jesus, we would know where we stand in this day, walking in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to recognize our position and what you've done for us. We pray now that thy will be done this day, and help each one of us, Lord, this day. For we all need you, Lord, in some special way. So we ask that you would help us now. As we just commit ourselves unto thee now, may your will be done. In your glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Do you appreciate the opportunity you have again today to be in the house of the Lord and have a desire to serve him? Amen. It's a blessed desire. It's a blessed thing to understand today the message of the hour. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Acts, if you'd like to turn with me. And I was actually thinking of this little scripture again this morning after last Sunday's message, and then thinking about, you know, actually Brother Pitt's, what he had mentioned about it. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to read that this morning before we start back into this message. We find here in Acts the 8th chapter, and we'll read the 26th verse, down only to about the 31st verse. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now, just kind of notice everything, what took place here. Just pay attention. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man in Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the chain or had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now you notice this eunuch, what he was doing, he came to worship, you see. And was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now think of that. Here he was reading the word of God. You know, this precious time, sitting in his chariot. Wonder how many times we sit in our car and read the word of God, you know. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, now there he is being led of the Spirit, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now notice again. And Philip ran thither to him. It didn't take his good old time. When the Holy Spirit said move, he moved rapidly. You know, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now may the Lord bless during his word, and you may be seated. And through the foolishness of preaching, the souls of men shall be saved. Amen. So we find here this eunuch, he was, you can tell by what was going on here, this just didn't happen by chance. He had a special desire to know what he was reading. And God made sure that Philip had his attention drawn to it and sent Philip to speak to him. And he ended up baptizing him and so forth. But I thought about that this morning before we go back in this message now. And I thought, you know, if we come with that kind of a hunger and desire, you know, God's word never fails. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. You see, but you've got to come with the right desire. And I don't know everyone's desire this morning. No, I don't. But I'm serving one that knows everyone's desire this morning and knows whether you really wanted to be here or knows whether you came wore out from doing something else or you've got your mind on tomorrow or maybe just can't wait till the service is done and all these different things, you know. But we know God knows all these things, you see. He knows whether we've got our minds on things that's other things that's more important to us instead of the word being fully and the most and greatest important to us. So I trust that we'll kind of take that little scripture there and kind of think about it a little bit as we come here today. You know, did you get up this morning reading the word of God? Did you get up this morning praying and waiting on the Lord? You may sit there and think, well, I'm not a preacher, so, you know, I'm going to wait to come to church and get my reading or praying or anything like that. Is that seriously all you got? That's a shame. Really a shame if that's all you got. Because I've never seen anything in the Scripture where God deals with people like that. It's hard, isn't it? But it's truth. He always comes to those that's hungry, to those that are desiring him, that have something pulling on the inside, to those that the things of life is not more important. Yeah. Like I said, now to some that may hit home hard, might be a hard statement to have to swallow, but it's truth anyway. It's come to the time, saints, whether you'll find out whether you love Jesus most of all or not. Whether you love this word most of all. Or whether still life is that choking taking place and you'll bear no fruit. Don't you think the Lord Jesus said that for a reason? Yeah. He said it for a reason. Because it's actually happening and it will continue to happen. That the cares of life will choke them. Well, how can you have this be more important when there's so many cares of life? It's between you and God, whether you'll work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah. So many people want to be Christians. So many people want to be called believers. So many people want to be looked up to that they're a Christian and they're a good person, good moral person, and living for God. But you know, it ain't what people around us see in itself only. It's what God knows all about us. You know, what He sees and what He knows that's truly our life. Because you can put on a lot of stuff in front of people. But it comes down to reality and Christ truly expressing. That's something only He can do. And you can't do it yourself, you see. And there's a lot of difference in His life living and us putting on that we're Christians. There's a big difference in that, you see. But I'd like to go back into this message. It's not really that so much on my message, but I just felt led to say it. But anyhow, I want to go back into this message on the thoughts of God. But before I do, I want to read a little something else here concerning being able to receive the word in the same way with today. And maybe if one of your brothers want to put the board up, or just never mind, I can do it. It's no big deal. I can grab that thing. That way you can sit there and relax. It doesn't take long. If I can find the hooks here, here we go. All right. So we find, in going back to this, I want you to think about this, what he said, the prophet said in Broken Cisterns, July 26, 1964. And I says, don't miss anything he says here, okay? He says, that's the same way it is with frogs and with lizards and with tadpoles and such as that. They've got to get around the swamp or the stagnated pool to live, for their nature to live there. Okay, now he was talking about Broken Cisterns, you know what he said in those different things. He says, you can't change the animal until you change its nature. Okay? Now think of that, because, you know, I've got a horse and a cow and some chickens and things like that, but I don't care what I do, I cannot change what them animals do unless there was some way I was great enough and powerful enough to place another nature in there. If I had the ability to take and put a nature of that horse and switch it over into that cow, and the cow's nature over into the horse, they would act differently. Yeah. You know, the cow, they want to constantly, you know, you got to be careful what you do, what you put out in water, so forth, and how you do it in the wintertime, because they just want to butt things. You know, they want to push in things, knock things over, tear things up. That's just the way they do things. But horses don't do that, you see. But if I could change that nature around, you'd see the horses out there banging and hitting the water buckets and knocking them over. You just put nice fresh water out there, and if it ain't done right, they're going to knock it over. Just the way a cow is, you know. So how can you love that old cow? I just like that old cow, you know. But it's just you got to know how they do things. So that's why you dig a hole and you put it down in the ground. And they can't push it over. And, of course, unless you've got a great big enough tank and a strong enough tank, then they won't tear it up too bad. Or bad. That's why they built so many of them out of concrete and so forth. But anyhow, to think of this now, he's going to talk about it in type with us. Okay? And you cannot make a man see the Word of God till his nature has been changed. Okay? And again, as I get up here this morning and we begin to move back into this, there is no way possible for me, especially, because I'm just a man, because it takes the Holy Ghost to reveal it. But there's no way for you to really see this like you need to without that nature changed. Okay? Because there's great treasures in this. Great treasures. And that's why, again, the prophet said, he said, the thoughts of God are real, are they not? He said, if you can see this, you will see many things. Now, if we go into this and we can't see many things, we need to run scared. Because it's one thing or the other. I'm not receiving it. Or maybe I'm just not conditioned, or maybe I'm just not in Christ like I should be and come in the right condition to receive it, and maybe not praying to God for revelation or anything like that. Or maybe I just not had a nature change. Yeah. But it's a serious thing not to see this. Now, of course, people get, and they read about what Brother Branham taught about the thoughts of God and everything, you know. And I've seen it, believe me, friends, over the years. And they get so excited and they'll say, amen, glory, hallelujah, and still go out and sin. It just don't make sense, you know. How could you see this and still go out and live nothing but a carnal life? Amen. Doing carnal things, attaching yourself to worldly things, showing the whole world you're worldly. How could you really understand? I don't care how much you raised your hands and you shouted and you went, amen! The rain falls on the just and the unjust. You see? But the thing is, you've got to understand it. It's got to be revealed. Okay? And maybe by going back through these things, and I've taught these things years ago, but maybe by going back through these things, maybe something will strike a heart, you know? All right? And you know, I think the first time I've taught on these things, it's been years I've taught on these things. All right, so we find here, he says, you cannot make a man see the word of God till his nature has been changed. And when his nature is changed from what he is to a son of God, and the Holy Spirit comes into him, the Holy Spirit wrote the word of God. Ain't that true?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit wrote the word of God. And he says, today I was talking to my good friend Dr. Lee Vail, who is present now, and he's quite a theologian, and so we usually have some pretty good discussions on Scripture, very smart. And he asked me one time what I thought about the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost was. Speaking in tongues. Was it speaking in tongues? And he said, it had been many years ago. I said, no, can't see that. And Lee Vail says, he said, neither do I. He said, though I've been taught that, he said, what you would think would be the evidence. I said, the most perfect evidence I can think of, Brother Branham says, is love. Okay. And so we got to talking on that. And then I thought, that sounded pretty good. And you know, his messages down before the seals came and so forth, you know he taught love was the evidence, you see. And then I thought that sounded pretty good, so I just held on to that. If a man has got love, you see, but one day the Lord in a vision straightened me out, and he said that the evidence of the Spirit was those who could receive the word. Oh, my. Neither love nor speaking in tongues, but it's receiving the word. So this is also the word, is it not? All right. And the only way I can receive this, and if I've got the evidence of being born again, receive the new birth, then the thing is, I should be able to understand this if God is there to reveal it to me. Now, again, we don't come in here today by no means and no thoughts whatsoever. And Bro Steve's going to come in here and he's going to tell you about this and I'm going to see it. The only thing by me going over this, because this ain't my revelation, it's what God's already revealed. It's his word already given, you see. So I'm just exhorting and bringing it back to your attention. But the thing it is, if the only way I'm going to see this is God reveal it to me. If he doesn't, again, I won't see many things. You know? There'll be many things that continue to be fuzzy, foggy, you know? You know, fog when you're going down the road, I was ahead there a few mornings ago, you just can't see very far. You know, you just see a little bit, and you just don't know you don't know if a deer is going to jump out on you. You don't know if there's a hole in the road. You don't know if a tree fell on the road. And you're driving real slow because you don't really know what to do. And it's the same way if things isn't revealed to you by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit making it real to you, it's always foggy. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's really laying ahead of you. And it makes you nervous, weary. You don't know for sure just how to handle things. But I don't know about you, but I like driving on a clear highway. that I know exactly what's going on and I can see what's ahead of me. Oh my. And by faith, if he reveals these things to us, you see, then we can clearly see. And there's a lot of things that clear up by knowing this. You see, a lot of things clear up. Absolutely clear up. That's why, again, the prophet said, if you can see this, you will see many things. You see? All right? So let's go on. He says here, and Dr. Vail was saying to me that that is Scripture. He said, because it's in John 14. Jesus said, when he, the Holy Ghost, is come upon you, he will reveal these things to you that I've taught you and will show you things to come. Says his brothers was talking about this, you know. They was conversing back and forth, and Brother Vail thought about this, you know. He thought, my, you know, that's Scripture, you know. So we find it's Scripture. If we really receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, really have a new birth, we're able to understand these things. Yeah. Now again, sometimes people come in and they go to listen to a message and they think, you know, and it's more to the thing, I just can't wait to get out of here. You know? Honestly, myself, I don't know why people like that would even come. Other than the fact that they try to be like the denominations and organizations, different things gathered together today, and they just think by their showing up, they become a member of the church, they sign the book, and I'm a Christian now. Just because we show up today don't mean I'm a Christian. No. Hopefully we all come today because we need help. In simple words, we need help. So we come here to listen to the Word because the Word's what gives us help. And as we receive the Word, we become the Word. So we know there's something about the Word that's just fitting in our heart and our life that we can't live without it. It's just so exciting and so wonderful to go into these things and to think about it and to pray about it and ask God to reveal it to us. So we could drive down the road that's nice and clear, you see. All right. So let's go on. I guess we read that part. Now let's go on. Move over to something else here. Now I'm going to read the Scripture, Romans 8. If you want to turn with me, that's fine. I'm going to try to maybe go a little quicker if I possibly can, so I can get a little ways this morning. All right, Romans 8. And all these Scriptures I'm going to read today is very familiar and everything, but just let the Holy Spirit jolt together to you, you see. Romans 8, 29, 30. For whom he, did foreknow. Now we know that is to know before. Okay? For whom he did. All right? Not us. Him. Okay? For whom he did foreknow. Now it's not, friends, that you going to come down here today now and you start going to church and we'll call it so you kind of understand what I'm saying. We start going to church, you know, and we want to become a Christian. We decide to become a Christian. And now all of a sudden, now God knows me. No. He knew you before you was born on this earth. Predestinated. Okay? Now, I'm taking this today as I'm talking to predestinated seed. Okay? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, you know, if my natural brothers was here, as far as natural speaking, I can say we all came from the same daddy. Yeah. We all come from the same mother's womb, you know. And we're brethren, you know, so we all come from the same source, natural speaking, physical, okay? Now, if he's our brother, oh my, then what's that make me? What's that make you? No wonder the prophet had to say, with many other scriptures that come before, he said, we came from the same source, all right? Okay? So he says, moreover, whom he did. Now, listen, whom he did, it's already in the past. Predestinate, or declared from and decreed from eternity. Them he also called. Oh, my, he knew from the eternity. that he was going to invite you by a special desire, a special call that the majority of people on the earth will never experience. No. But he will invite you. He will call upon your heart. He will give you something on the inside that draws you to him, which is so special. It's so precious to me. And whom he called, them he also justified. He's already decreed. He already, in the past, already decreed from eternity that you'd be in that righteousness. That you would be that one that was accounted as though you never done it in the first place. Now think of that. Already decreed this, and it's mine. Before this earth was ever formed, and we think about, you know, this earth, you know, how old it is, and we think about all this that's happened all down through the thousands of years and all that, and we think, my, that's a long time, you know. But oh, to think that you was in the thoughts of God before this earth was ever formed, before old Noah ever sailed around it, friends, during the flood, you was in the thoughts of God. Can thou believe such things as this? Can you understand what thou readest? Can thou understand what thou hearest? Or is it just? Sounds like a pretty decent story. Sounds like it's pretty good. But is there something on the inside that can really relate you in its relationship with what God said he'd done for you? Oh my. Now remember, we can say it with our lips that he did, or we understand that and we believe it and all this. But one thing about it, our life will show whether we really see that we was there. That's what makes the difference, you see. Because, see, we're living that time, saints, where it's just the age and time we're in. It's just people can say anything with their lips. I mean anything. And it just, and sometimes it, you know, it'll amaze you to what you hear come out of people's mouth. You know, like I talked about a few weeks ago, you know, a young man, that he can talk about this word and so forth. And now he's not in the message, but it's amazing how close on many things he can get to the truth. And yet on other things be so far away from the truth. Yeah. And you almost have to wonder, you think, how could he have got that far and not see this over here? You know? I mean, how could it be? You think, I'll tell you how it is, predestination. You see? It was given to you to know, as our Lord Jesus told his disciples, it was given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, do you realize how blessed a person is that knows they've been given to understand these things too? My, that's very precious. Very precious. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, all right, already did this, okay. Them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified, and them who justified, them he also glorified. See, they're always clothed with honor in God's sight. You see? Let's go on. Just follow the scripture for a little bit. And proving, well, read his quote first. Proving his word. August 16, 1964, paragraph 213. Now, watch what's taking place here. All he foreknew, he called. All he called, he justified. All that he justified, he hath, notice what he's saying, how he says it, hath, already, past tense, see, hath glorified. Your journey is finished. Now, do I really see that? Do you really see that? That your journey's finished? Or are you down this, in this life, and the way you're taking trials and tests and things that's coming up in life, and every day is a struggle, and you got to do this, and you think you've got to do that, and you think, oh, if I don't do this, this is going to happen, and I do this, that, and the other, and why does this happen to me, and why has this happened over here, and why did this take place over there? It shows you don't understand. And there's many good Christian people that get so frustrated in life. Nervous. When the least little thing goes wrong, why, my, you would think they'd never even known of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You would have thought, my, don't they know anything in the Word of God? You know, just so frustrated and uptight and just all shook up and just, oh, my life, the sky is falling, as Chicken Little would say. Yeah. The sky is falling on me. Don't you have an understanding that your journey is finished? And if you really see that you was in the thoughts of God before the world was ever formed, don't you really believe that the footsteps of the righteous are ordained of God? And don't you really see that He'll never put more upon you than you're able to bear? All these things that God has spoke to us in His Word, why aren't they a reality? Why do we still have to face life with such uncertainty? Remember, when there's uncertainty, the fog's there. But if you get something to lift the fog, and look what lifts that fog, that nice bright sunshine, it burns it all away. Well, there's an S-O-N, friend, the word also that will burn it completely away. And my, you can see exactly where you're going. Yeah. And you'll know my footsteps are ordained. Because by His grace, I'm this righteous. This is my own righteousness, but it's His righteousness, you see. So I know my footsteps are ordained everywhere I go. And I know if things come up and troubles and trials and things like that, it may seem like, my, it's a really a hard trial, you know. But I know He won't put more on me than I can bear, you know. Because He knows exactly what He's put on the inside. And by faith, you know exactly what's on the inside of you, you see. So we realize we're on this journey. And actually, I brought this years ago too, but like I say, we'll just stick another circle up here. We're just going to put eternity there. All right, it's not real good. But okay, we're going to just start down there, and we'll put a little arrow, and we'll go on down here, put another little arrow. We'll go over here, a little arrow, another little arrow, a little arrow there. And we're just going to think of this first section here. He was born in flesh. Again, and every one of us was born through mama's womb, wasn't we? Right. I think every one of you was, as far as I know. If you wasn't, kind of strange today. Yeah, but you was. Yeah, you may not remember being born, actually being born in flesh, but you remember probably times when you start getting a little bit to where mama used to cuddle you, used to guide you, yeah, used to help you along when you're sick, you know, she used to do things for you and so forth, all those things. But you was born. So just instead of me writing all this in, we'll just remember that's you was born. Well, let's just put it in there, Sue. All right. So then we find that now as we begin to travel in life, the next arrow. Let's read John, 6th chapter. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up to the last day. So we're going to put in here, draw him. I'm going to put in here, draw you. That was very special too. Very special. Which, if I get time, I'll read you something on that. Then the next step will just take, when this drawing took place, then there was the Holy Ghost fire come down and give you what you needed to serve God. We'll just put the fire there too because we make sure that fire cleans it all out. So we find here, now here he was in the thoughts of God in eternity. Then you was born. Now we'll refer back to these things a little later. Then something began to draw you. How many remembers it's the first time you ever began to draw? Oh, I do. Very, very plainly. I couldn't tell you the exact day that he began to draw, but I know I was just a tiny little feller. And I'm telling you, I've told you before, I know in 4 or 5 years old when we used to go to Old Pentecostal Church. And times when there hardly nobody go to the altar after the old Pentecostal preacher be up there screaming. And I'd go to the altar and be a crying. Just a little feller. Yeah. But there was something always drawn on the inside. You know? At times I just couldn't figure it out. Now I don't want you to feel condemned. Don't let Satan talk to you. If maybe it was later in life before something like that really began to draw on you strong. And maybe you don't really think anything was happening back when you was wee little, like, but you know, God, there's different ages, different times. God begins to draw on people, you see. But I believe God had a purpose in drawing on me early. But anyhow, we find that you was born and then you begin to get drawed on. And we'll just call it special desire. There was something about it, you just had to have God somehow. There was something always interesting to you about God. You always want to know, what's the reality of this, you know? And maybe some of the other children in your own family just had no concern whatsoever, you know? And I was kind of that black sheep in my family. As I've told you before, I mean, my oldest brother and sister, before my youngest brother was born, there was 9 years between me and him. But when my oldest brother and older sister, was doing their things, and they'd go sneak around and go with the neighbors over and drink, or they'd go over here and smoke, or they'd maybe get into this, that, and the other, and they'd both tell me, you don't need to be here. You don't need to be here. We're going to do that. Which I knew then what was going to happen. You know, I knew it was time for me to mosey on, you know. And, of course, never got invited to their things, which they knew. You know, and like my oldest brother said not really too long ago, he said, I always knew you'd grow up to be a preacher. I said, well, you know. But anyhow, it's just always a little black sheep, you know. And then when my youngest brother come along, me and him didn't see eye to eye, you know. I wanted to be off by myself, mending the fence and doing things on the farm. And here this little fellow's behind me like this, you know, and I'm having to watch him. Of course, Mom would say, now, Stephen, you watch over him and keep, now make sure he's okay. You let him be with you. You know, but I wanted to be by myself. I was always that type, just be by myself. You know, from the time I was that big on up. I'm just kind of a loner. But anyhow, they may have never, ever had that in their heart. I trust that someday they will. But I can't put it in there. I can only try to be salty. And maybe someday they'll want to drink. But I think of even in my natural family, I think out of 4 of his children, and I'm the only one so far, that can identify with this. That's what makes me sing Amazing Grace. How sweet is that? Because I know it wasn't in myself. Was there anything I could have manufactured or done to put that little call and that draw on the inside? There was nothing. But there was a little germ of life that began to make its journey. It began to make its journey. Yeah. Now, God already seen my journey finished. He already seen your journey finished. Now, there's time it goes from here and making this journey. But one thing about it, as I begin to make my journey and things begin to happen, the Holy Ghost, the draw, the Holy Ghost, and keeps on going, which you'll get to it, I know I'm going right back to the eternity. And there's nothing better to know than have you know you really have eternal life. But when you fit the journey that he said that you would have to have eternal life, my, how much happier can you be to know that you fit the journey? And you know, it's nothing you could do. It's impossible. Does that mean I would never do anything wrong or never make mistakes on this journey? Absolutely. But he also provided a sacrificial lamb. Amen. To take and wash my sins away. And if I did get trapped up into something, I could take it before him and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. I'm so sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. And I would know he forgave me. because through this great process that I've already seen happen and what's taking place, I know he really meant what he said, that he washed my sins away. And I know he forgives me of the things if I do something wrong. And he knows that I don't desire to do anything wrong. Yeah. He knows that, you see. But you see what's given me assurance so far? And I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm the only one. But you've got to fit yourself in this. Okay? But I know but what I see what's taking place in my life. And be able to receive the word. Ah. Oh. And to see it begin to vindicate itself, I know that's the true evidence. You see, just like we already read. So, to me, this is so wonderful to know this journey, but it all started right here in the thoughts of God. And you always was eternal. So when you start this journey, you can't become uneternal. No, because you was always eternal in the thoughts of God. We're talking about true sons and daughters of God. We're not talking about impersonators, make-believers, and all this other stuff that goes on. No. We're talking about true, genuine believers. Truly, that was in the thoughts of God before this earth was ever formed. You see? All right? And we could go on to the next one. We might as well for a little bit. Then we'll just go up here. Oh, there's this great... Now, this might be hard for some of you to see back here. Rapture that takes place. Oh, my. Yes, great rapture takes place. Wow. A great catching away. Actually, I skipped one. I was wanting in there. That's supposed to be at the next era. I'm sorry. But anyhow, we can switch that one up or mentally you can. But down here, as you receive the Holy Ghost, then you begin to receive your word, the word for the day. That's what I was going to put right there. Received the word of the day. We kind of talked about it, but I didn't get wrote in there. But anyhow, still this journey, again, by faith, are you able to see yourself identified? Can you see this happen in your life? That even your very natural birth was special. Do you know that? It sure was. Even your natural birth was very special. It was God releasing his attributes and what? Become expressed. And this tabernacle of flesh, we know it's just the old coat that we wear, you know, the old flesh body. The real us is on the inside. I act off of what's on the inside. You act off of what's on the inside. We're all like that. And that's why some... Maybe a lot of people, even in the message, maybe, I don't know. But a lot of people call themselves Christians. And they want to say they're identified with these things and they're a part of it and this, that, and the other. But just can't seem to overcome. If they get angry, upset, and act like an idiot, give them 3 more months and they'll act like an idiot again. Give them another 6 months and act like an idiot again. Because they'll never overcome it. Never. Never. It's impossible for them. If Christ isn't in them. Same with all these other things. If there's something of the world drawn on you, and you just can't seem to stay away from it, you know something on the inside didn't happen. Nope. But Brother Steve, I know some of these things you're talking about. That's not truly understanding. If you truly have it revealed to you, it'll vindicate itself. And this go on to say, as the prophet said, the entire Word of God. Not just partial. The entire Word of God. So the make believer and the genuine believer can look so close like the real thing. You can take two women, and I'm telling you, they'll dress the modest as can be, friends. Their clothes will be nice, loose. They won't be trying to show themselves. They won't be wearing things to attract men's attention. And they'll be just as modest as can be, friends. And this other little modest one over here just can't come under subjection to her husband. And she'll hear the preacher talk about it, and he'll talk about it, and she'll, amen, yes, that's right. And she's got her husband so trained that he won't squeak without asking her. Yeah. Well, he needs the Holy Ghost too. Yeah. He needs it too. They're both in bad shape. Yeah. But you see, when you begin to see these things and really see that you have eternal life, one thing about it, it'll vindicate you have eternal life. It won't be nothing else but that. Yeah. Let's go on. He says here, I'll read this again before I read the next quote. Now watch what's taking place here. All he foreknew, he called, he justified, and all he justified, he also glorified. Your journey's finished. You're living out your part. You're living out your part. Do you hear that? Okay. Those that was in the thoughts of God, you're now down here living out your part. Now, he already told us what our part was for Christ to express through us, to live through these tabernacles of flesh. Okay? That's what it's all about. Grace is what God did for you, not what he's going to do for you. Grace is what he did for you already. And once this was in his mind, decreed in his mind, there's nothing that's ever going to mess this up. And Paul seen this. He said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall peril, sword, famine, nakedness? Nay, none of these things shall separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Because he knew his journey. And the quicker we truly understand our journey and know it, the fog begins to lift, friends. And you can travel this life, this journey, and know that if God be for us, who can be against us? You see? But without the understanding of these things, those scriptures are just things we're trying to believe. We're trying, and we've got a hope attached to it. But friends, I want something more than hope. And hope without faith is just wishful thinking. So I want a revelation to understand where I come from and where I am going. That's what you want to have. Now, I'm going to go back to some things. I'm just trying to get us a little ahead of something here. That's what you want to have when your old body drops to the grave. Because if you ain't got that, friends, you're going to hope you're going to make it in. You're going to hope. But that's another reason why Apostle Paul could say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You see? Because you know there's no way in the world for this to get messed up. Not a true one. No. Impossible. God done decreed it. Now, we know we can be like the legalists and Calvinists and do all these different things, you know, and say different things, and praise God, I'll just go out and I can do this because I know I got eternal life. Nonsense. You ain't got eternal life. You see? If you know you're in this great program, friends, you won't want to do anything to hurt our Lord. Nothing. Because your love is so strong for him. Oh, he that loveth me will keep my commandments. Yeah? Keep my commandments. Okay? Let's go on. In the message of Kinsman Redeemer, because they are from eternity and they stepped out into space of time, from eternity and they stepped out into space of time, okay, and will return back to eternity. Eternity has dropped down into a body called time. Then it goes right back up into eternity again. It cannot perish. No way. Well, Brother Steve, I know somebody that started out on the right foot and this. Well, it wasn't seed to start with. Yeah. If they're seed, friends, there's no way it's going to keep from going right back to eternity. It'll go back to it. And in that process of going through this great journey, It's going to do exactly what that scripture says do and what that prophet said would happen in the bride today. Exactly. You see? All right? Let's go on. Three kinds of believers. Paragraph 290. In his prayer, listen to what he says in his prayer. Lord, I believe that you are the same Jesus. You're the same God that you ever was. You're still God and you change not. I believe that this Bible is your word, and I believe that you and your word are the same. And I pray, God, that you'll give us of your Holy Spirit to quicken the word, to give us the quickening power, that someday, when this life is over, whether it be by the going to the grave or going to the rapture, friends. But he said, I pray that when this life is over, you're finished with us. And we don't know what that day is for either one of us. I don't know if mine's today, tomorrow, next week, 2 weeks. I don't know. That's why I want to make sure now is the time. So, Brother Steve, you look healthy and you know you're not that old and this, that, and the other. That ain't nothing, friends. My heart could stop when I walk out that door, you know? But I want to make sure I know where I'm at. Yeah. And you're finished with us, that we'll be quickened and ascend up into heaven where we was in the thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. Now think of that. He said that for a reason. That's the way he believed. That's the way he understood. He knew that we was on a journey. Yeah. We come this journey of time. Yeah. We're all on this sitting, right? Everybody sitting here right now is on this journey of time. Now, I don't know if everyone in here is in his journey as far as eternal life. But I do know what he said if you was in this journey, what you would do. So, what are we going to do with our journey? You know, the prophet said too in a little message one time, he said, what you are here is what you'd be there. So I sure don't want to be a doubter of God's word in this journey. Because you know what he said? Don't worry, you won't be there anyway. No. If you have a temper here, don't worry, you won't be there. Yeah. And temper's a hard one for some people to really get over, you know. Sometimes people can have such a temper, and my, they look like such a sweet little thing, you know. But just let the right occasion come up and watch that temper flare. Sometimes it's a woman with her husband. Let the husband require just the wrong thing and don't really satisfy her. And watch your temper flare up. And then the mouth just... Of course, most women ain't going to smack you and hit you, but boy, it makes their mouth run like a machine running 200 miles an hour. A temper. Yeah. Or maybe the husband. Maybe their natural brother will do something, or sister. And they didn't quite like it. And there it's already going through their mind, I'm a chosen of God. I'm predestinated. I'm better than they are. And they think they're going to do this to me. I'll show them. Don't worry. You wasn't there. You wasn't there. Nope. If I don't care who it is, you always return good for the evil. Because that's his word. That's what's in his journey. He'll return good for evil. Yes. So if you can't return good for the evil, we know we won't be there anyway. If the temper don't get rid of and the Holy Ghost fire destroy it and cause you to overcome it, don't worry. You won't be there anyway. No. We take these things so lightly of things sometimes in our life we can't seem to overcome. There's people who's been taking years to overcome things, right? Years. How could it be? How could you be in this journey and be making this journey and be a busybody in other men's matters? How could you be? Don't worry. You won't be there anyway. It's God's word. And it's God's word this journey is tied to. Every time you see that line and that arrow, it's God's word. Yes, the overcomer. Yes. But we get the thing today where Satan is so deceiving, especially in the age, the greatest age he ever was for deception. He can make people think they're Christians when they're not. But we can go along in thinking so much that I don't need to overcome that. The blood of Jesus Christ is here to cover me if I do a boo-boo again. You got the wrong revelation. You're missing the word. It's the overcomer that shall sit on the right hand of God. Sit on his throne. Yeah. There's many things, friends, that's involved in this journey. Many things. And if we can see this, truly see it, we will see many things. If I can't begin to see many things by understanding this, something's wrong. Something is desperately wrong, you see. He says here, what time is it getting to be? All right, time's almost over. Excuse me. Let's see here. Let me read this and then we'll pick up later. I'll leave this with you. And I just actually read this 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I want to leave it with you this morning. And we'll pick back up on it. This is in John 4 and 6th verse. John 4, chapter 6, verse. Now Jacob's well was there. Oh, here he goes again on that adulteress. There ain't nothing much in there for me. Well, is there? Let's see what we see. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Who was this woman, Samaria? You know, a lot of people will just automatically think, oh, she was an adulteress. She was very special. Yeah, very special. Very special. An adulteress? She was very special. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now remember, doesn't the scripture say the Lord knoweth them that are his? Absolutely does. He knows us sitting here today. He knows us that's his. Yeah. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciple were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Like we said the other couple weeks ago, segregation that time. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us of the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Remember, the Lord knoweth them that are his. 2 Timothy 2:19. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. Now remember, this is an adulteress. The woman said unto her, or him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. Now there's something already working in that little woman's mind. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. You know, a lot of people in their natural way of thinking just think, why would he mess with this woman? You know, so filthy, dirty, scroungy. Guess what? We all was. Yeah. Just her thing was different than your thing. You may not think your dirty thing was as dirty as hers, but it's all dirty. Okay? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that right? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. You see, she knew that this man wouldn't have known anything about her life unless this could be the Christ. Something was going on the inside. Something was going on the inside. There was a representation of predestination. Yeah. He says, Jesus said to her, well, I guess we finished reading. I don't think we did. The woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. See, they couldn't understand it either. They thought, come on now. You've got to pick out a better crowd than this. I mean, this is really getting low. You know, to talk to this woman? I mean, my lands, people know. She's a mess. They just couldn't figure this out. And sometimes people can't figure out how God done with us what he done. But thank God he did. Yeah. The woman then left her water pot. Oh, my. The woman left her water pot. She forgot all why she come for water for. If she was thirsty, she forgot all about being thirsty. If it was to get water for something else, what'd she need water for? She had one thing burning in her heart. Though she was stricken in sin, a filthy life, she recognized something very special. Oh, my. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And by her testimony, they then went out of the city and came unto him. Oh my. Now think of it, friends. I'll read this one last thing here before we close. In Identification, February 16, 1964. The word found her. He was talking about this woman to well. But when the word first flashed. Now notice this. When the word first flashed, it flashed in front of her. She got it. Oh my. She was one of those thoughts of God. She was one of those thoughts of God made manifest. Now keep that in mind. She was one of those thoughts of God made manifest. She recognized the word. And there was something on the inside that sparked. Oh my. Do you remember when you was maybe even young and you would begin to hear this message and hear things about the word and so forth? And there was just something about it, just, oh, there's something about this. It was just so real. I mean, how could you not say it was truth? Yeah, you may not have understood everything yet, and things was maybe a little bit fuzzy yet and things, but you think, man, there's just something about it. You got to have it. This is it. I want to know more. Do you remember that time? Oh, my. I do. And it's still, I want more. I want more. I want more. Do you realize how special that is? You see why I said that little woman's very special? Adulteress? Yes, she was very special. She was in the thoughts of God. Brother Branham said she was. Yeah. Oh, my. And you say, well, that'd been pretty nice, you know, because we know Brother Branham told certain people, oh, I seen them. I seen you over behind the curtain behind me, or I seen you over here, and I seen you. You're predestinated, you know. And Brother Branham would tell these people that, you know. And how, my, how wonderful, marvelous that would have been. But more blessed are our eyes, for they see, and I'm not seeing those things. Yes. When it can be just as real that if that prophet himself would have spoke out of his lips and say, you're predestinated. Oh. Yeah, but it ain't like Brother Branham coming right to your face and now you're predestinated. I'm going to tell you what. God coming to me with the Holy Spirit and told me I'm predestinated. I came from the thoughts of God. Hallelujah. Is it that real to you? Absolutely, it's that real to me. By His mercy and His grace. Oh, my. How are we talking about, friends, the fog being lifted? Oh, my. You've got to know where you're at, friends. Didn't He say before the rapture, I couldn't have no doubt whatsoever? None. 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 And maybe we still doubt a little bit when it comes to needing a healing or maybe when we had to, we need God for something, need to face Him and for something we need in life. We get thinking, oh, but I'm so dirty. And like Brother Branham talked about, you know, that he looks so dirty and filthy, you know, in proving His word he was talking about. So maybe we'll get to it. But friends, I'm telling you, if you can see this, I know why He said, you will see many things. Do we really see this like we need to? Or I'm just going to close Him off and say, oh, I already know about that. You know, it's hogwash, you know. I already know about it. I want to know every speck there is about it. Every speck. Yes. Because I know the truth shall set me free. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for His word. I appreciate it very much. I trust that I'll be able to rehearse and exhort to you these things as the Holy Spirit reveals it to you and makes it more real to you. Yeah, like I said, I preached on these things years ago. But the thing of it is our life showing we understand it? Now, we've went a few years since I was in this last time. What has our life done since that? Is there things in your life you still don't overcome and don't even know more concerned about than anything, whether you overcome it or not? So did this really mean anything to you or not? Did it help you see many things? Well, I had to stick with what the prophet said. If you see this, you'll see many things. So I'm going to tell you again. Yeah. If you don't see it, there's many things you're going to miss out on. Yeah. Just plain simple as that, you know. You're just going to miss out on. But I don't want to miss out on any of it. I want to, by God's grace, make heaven my home, friends. And this life is getting so short. I mean, friends, it's got to be. I don't know when the Lord's going to come. No man will know the day or the hour. But it's got to be getting close. I mean, things could happen now so quickly and just so rapidly and get wrapped up, friends. Oh, my. And if even if it doesn't come to that point, still, I'll say it again. There ain't no one of you sitting here can guarantee me or anybody else you're going to be alive tomorrow. I don't care how healthy you are. You can be as healthy as you can be, friends. And I try to stay healthy. But, friends, the thing of it is, you can get killed in a crash so easily. I mean, look at the people get killed. I had a friend of mine, two friends of mine, in a bad wreck this week. You know, because they was hauling hay and straw and mind their own business and a gooseneck trailer. And all of a sudden, some 27-year-old boy comes by and hits them head on. You know, they're still alive, far as I know. I don't know about the boy that hit him. He was in critical condition. But the other friend of mine, actually his name's Steve too, and he just had to have some serious surgeries and reconstructive surgery on his face and everything. His hip broke, and I think it can happen just like that, you know? It's God's grace that we live day to day. I'm telling you, there's so many kooks and nuts out there and drug addicts. And it's just, friends, you live by God's grace. But you have no assurance tomorrow will be yours. None. None. Don't give me that line that you do. You don't. Only God knows our day is numbered. What number it will be, I don't know. But oh, I want to live today as if today is my last number. God, help me to do that. Oh, my. Let us all stand. Let us bow our heads. I've held you too long already. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your precious word. And so many times, Lord, I feel so inadequate to be able to bring these things back to our attention. But I just always trust that by your Holy Spirit you'll fill in the blanks, Lord, and fill in those spots in the people's hearts that maybe is something they need and something would encourage them and strengthen them, Lord, to press on and to be a better soldier for you. Oh, God, we appreciate these opportunities you give us, though. So thankful that we're here today and be able to listen to the word. And, Lord, bless those that couldn't be here. Make it possible, Lord, that they'll be able to be here. And Lord, to feed on your word also. Just, again, watch over us. Keep us safe. And, oh, God, until the next time, if you should tarry together in here again once more. Again, we give you the glory for everything that you've done for us. We know it's nothing we could do in ourselves. Lord, we're saved by your grace and mercy. We appreciate you now, Lord. We'll be done now, and our lives remain this day. In your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. May God bless you.